but it's still like a 310 by pencil. All right. So we are on our last class today, and I've been letting you guys pick topic, but we're to the last one, and there's one more I want to be sure to get in, so I'm going to pick topic for today. So turn to the section here on adultery and fornication. All right, we'll give about a minute to see who's going to be here. Do we have Deacon?
I'm not here.
Do we have Christopher?
Yep.
Do we have Zach?
Absent.
Do we have Nick?
Oh, yeah. That was part of
Do we have Nick?
Yes, we have Nick.
Okay. Do we have Joshua?
Nope.
Do we have Zeb?
Yeah.
Do we have Jake?
Present.
Do we have Evan?
Today.
Do we have Lucas?
Yep.
Do we have Hayden?
Here.
Do we have Nathan?
Yes, sir.
Do we have Abe?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Let's get started. And Nathan, would you begin us with the short prayer?
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day you've given us, and we're thankful for this time that we have to study from your word and from Proverbs. Pray that you may be with Mr. Scott as he shares from your word, and that we can be attentive and focused. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, so we're going to be talking about marriage, we're going to be talking about women, we're going to be talking about the warnings against adultery and fornication, and let's just start by talking about the women in the book of Proverbs. What are some of the women in the book of Proverbs? Who's the first woman you see in the book of Proverbs?
Wisdom.
Yeah, wisdom there is personified as a woman trying to get people's attention. Now, when we get to literal women, Who's the woman we see in Proverbs 7?
The immoral.
Yeah, the adulterous woman. Who's the woman we see in Proverbs 31?
The virtuous woman.
Yeah. And here's one of the interesting contrasts between those two women. Proverbs chapter 31. The heart of her husband trusts in her. Go back to Proverbs 7. Is this a trustworthy woman?
No.
What does she say to the young man that she grabs? My husband is not at home. He took a bag of money. He's not going to be back until the full moon. So listen, some women are trustworthy. Some women are not trustworthy. One of the problems is some of the women that are not trustworthy are really cute. And when you see her, you're not thinking about whether or not she's trustworthy. It's like, wow, she's cute, she's pretty, she's smiling at me. Okay? There's a verse in Proverbs that said that a beautiful woman without discretion is like what? Yeah, a gold ring and a pig's nose, okay? So, very, very pretty, covered in pig's snot, all right? And that's what a lot of women are, okay? And you've got to not be a fool. Men are pretty good at being foolish. And you've got to enter at a time in life where the decisions that you make right now, they have huge trajectories. We need to keep making good, old men like Gary and I need to keep making good decisions. But what type of decisions is Gary probably going to make when he gets back to Indiana? Probably some similar decisions that he was making before. That doesn't mean he doesn't face any challenges. That also doesn't mean that there aren't extra challenges that come with age, because there are. But a lot of Gary's decisions are already made. Gary, who do you plan to be married to when you get back?
Sandra.
Yeah. What career might you think you make me do it when you get back.
Please.
Yeah. What state you plan to live in next week?
India.
Yeah, in other words, he's got a trajectory that he's chosen that's being very productive. He needs to keep himself, I need to keep myself, you'll need to keep yourself in mind and keep growing. But you guys are at a point where a lot of those questions are up in the air. And so in the next very few years, you're going to be making decisions that affect your life greatly. Some have huge spiritual import. Some might relate to it. Like what job you pick. You know, if you start working at Chick-fil-A, and you keep working at Chick-fil-A, you think someday you'll be assistant manager, and you think somebody will be manager, and you end up in, you know, have your own Chick-fil-A, and you're 45, and you say, I think I might do electrical engineering. I think I might be a pediatrician. That's kind of... Yeah, it's a little bit late for that decision. You could theoretically do it, but the time to decide to get a medical school degree would have been when? Yeah. So, now, can you please, God, run a Chick-fil-A? Please, a lot of customers too. can you please God be a pediatrician? Yes. So it's big decisions, but it's not critical decisions. Do you understand the difference? What if you were a slave in Egypt? You know, what are you going to be when you grow up? Yeah. And you don't have much choice, but you should have been what? Good. You know, you should look to God. You've got choices. One of those choices is going to be one of the most important choices you'll ever choose. And that is, if you choose to get married, what kind of woman to choose. If you make a bad choice, it doesn't mean you can't go to heaven. You can go to heaven. But it can mean a lot of your life might be miserable. It can mean a lot of your life might be hard. It can mean, has anybody ever read the book of Hosea? So it's just super, super critical. Hey, could you close that door there for us so we'll have a little less echoing down the hallway? Thanks a lot. All right, so let's turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 5. Comments or questions so far?
Scotty, also, your life would be miserable, but do you think that's a great impact on your children's lives also?
Yes.
Spend the last time talking about
it. Yes, listen to me. When you're considering growth, think about, is that who I want to be the mother of my children? If you're interested in a girl, if you're dating a girl, and you think, I would not want her to be mother of my kids, then be fair to yourself and to her and drop that relationship right now. Because if she's not going to be a good mother to your kids, there's no point. There's just no point.
Also, another thing about marriage, you mentioned, like, it'd be really hard to change careers once you're 45. That's theoretically possible, even though it's really hard. You can't redo marriage.
Jesus said, what God joined together, let not man put asunder. You don't get to it at age 40 and say, now, this isn't working out like I thought it was. I think I'm going to change lives. Okay? So it's super, super, super critical. So let's talk for a minute about what to look for. And then let's read some Proverbs first, and then we'll start talking about that. So Proverbs 5, when I stop reading, you continue to the next word. My son, be attentive to my
wisdom,
incline your ear to my
understanding,
that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip
honey,
and her
speech
is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is as bitter as
wormwood,
sharp as a two-edged
sword.
Her feet go down to
death.
Her steps follow the path to
Sheol.
She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander. She does not know it. Now, sons, listen to me. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your
way
far from do not the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. At the end of your life, you will, when your flesh and body are, and you say,
I hated instruction, and my heart springs truth.
I did not
listen
to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of
ruin
in the assembled congregation. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the street, let them be for yourself alone, not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and
rejoice.
Say that word again.
Rejoice.
In the
life
of your
beauty.
A lovely deer, a graceful doe, let her breasts fill you at all times with
delight.
Be intoxicated, always in her
love.
Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a and embrace the bosom of
a foreigner?
For a man's ways are before the eyes of the
Lord,
and he ponders all his
paths.
The iniquities of the wicked, and he is held fast in the cords of his
sin.
He dies for lack of
instruction,
and because of his great folly, he is
led astray.
Okay, so talk to me just based on this text. What are some things to be, or let's break it down different ways. What are some things to be doing now? No, I'm going to do it this way. What are some things to look for in life? And then we're going to back up to what are some things for you to be putting into yourself that a woman would look for. What are some things that you should look for in life?
Hardworking.
Okay, Proverbs 31, hardworking. In fact, let's go ahead and read these other two women and then come back and do these discussions. Proverbs 7, verse 6. At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice. I'm in 7:7 now. I've seen among the simple, I've perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house. Chapter 5 said what? Don't even go near her house. Where is this guy headed?
To her house.
Headed to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness, behold, a woman meets him. How's she dressed? Yeah, like a prostitute. What's her heart? Wily. She's loud and wayward. Her feet doesn't stay home. Now in the street, now in the market, now in every corner, she lies in wait. Seizes and kisses him. With what kind of face? Yeah, with bold face. He says, I had to offer sacrifices today. I paid my vows. So now I've come to meet you. Why is that in there? I mean, we've got a seductress and she said, oh, by the way, I've already done my sacrifices.
She's a good religious woman.
There are some really trashy women that go to church. And there are girls that like, you know, hey, I'll meet you right after church or whatever. The fact that a girl goes to church doesn't mean that's who should be the mother of your children. And it doesn't mean that's who you should be spending time with. I've had to offer sacrifice and I've paid my vows. Now I've come to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I've found you. I've spread my couch with coverings, covered linens from Egypt. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. Because what? Verse 19? My husband's not home. Where is he? Yeah, he's not going to be back soon. He took a bag of money. When's he coming home? Yeah, he's not going to catch us. We got some time. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he what? He follows her like a what? Yeah, or a stag is caught fast. How many of you guys like fishing? So, if you go on fishing, you're in a John boat, and there's some dried up worms from last month in the bottom of the boat. You're going to stick that on your hook? that's not, you know, what do you want to put on your hook?
Something juicy.
Yeah, fat, juicy, big old fat, juicy worm wiggling around like this one. What do you want that fish to do?
Eat it.
You want that fish going, it's gone nervous. What do you want him to not look at? Yeah. You don't want him looking at the hook. You don't want him looking at the line. You want him looking at that worm. And he goes over there. He's excited. That looks good. And then what? Yeah. And then he ends up in a skillet, and later that night somebody's scraping fish bones, right? Alright, this guy, all at once, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, as a stag is caught fast, till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know it will cost him his life. Now, O sons, listen to me, be attentive to the words of my mouth, let not your heart to her ways. Listen, guys. A girl can turn your heart easily. If you're being a fool, a girl can turn your heart really, really easily. Dressing like a prostitute, she can turn a guy's heart. With seductive words and flattery, she can turn a guy's heart. Okay? And if this hasn't happened to you yet, the first time a girl starts talking to you and starts flattering you, talking about, oh, you look sexy, or you look hot, or this or that, your little heart's going to go. And it's like that worm. It's like, oh, boy, that sounds good. They know, they understand the male ego, okay? And we're going to talk about how women will talk. They understand the male ego, and over, you're going to see reference to these seductive words and this type of thing. Don't think, this is my chance. Wait for a girl that loves God more than you. Wait for a girl that doesn't throw herself at every guy. Because that first girl that starts throwing herself at you, don't be thinking that this was Little Miss Purity until you came along and, wow! She's been throwing these worms out for a while. She knows how to get a guy's attention. And if you don't bind, does she go into mourning? You know, become like in It's a Wonderful Life, a librarian, you know, because you weren't there. No, she's going to what? Yeah. Don't fall for that. You pick out a good girl and let her say some flattering things to you. Let her, you know, enjoy a relationship with you. You enjoy a relationship with her. And rejoice in what you, and keep rejoicing in that. A lot of guys treat a wife like a used car. Guy goes out and he buys a brand new car tomorrow, okay? Like, you have a friend, and he's like, oh, man, check it out. I just got this car. And he shows his, maybe it's his brand new Civic, you know, and it's like, oh, check it out. It's fantastic. You love it. It's beautiful and everything. Where are the 1987 Civics? Yeah, fine. As good as a car as it was, you know what somebody decided after a while? It's got some miles on it. You know, and it's got a scratch in it, and it's a little faded, and look at that new model. That's not the way you treat a woman. And that doesn't mean just sit here with a boy. No, it says rejoice in the wife of your youth. You ever see somebody has a plastic car? They took care of that car, and maybe that was the car, you know, they got as a youth. They're still, and they walk. There's a, you don't think they enjoy that car? It may not have Bluetooth, but they enjoy that car. Okay, rejoice in the wife of what? Your youth. Not rejoice in your wife while she's a youth. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. Joe's got a friend who lives in Cincinnati, and teaching a class. class, gotta go. They're in Cincinnati, and I was at their house, and I saw a picture of an old couple, and they're on a porch swing in, out in the country, and he's an old man, maybe 80, and she's an old woman, and they're sitting there, and you can just tell they're in love. He's wearing his straw hat, sitting on his porch, and she's sitting there beside him, and she's holding his hand, and she's looking at him like she's got a crush on him, and he's sitting there, and he's just got this nice smile on his face. And I asked about that picture, and it's her grandparents, okay? It's her grandparents. They said everybody loved going to that house. It was just a place of joy and peace. Everybody loved being there. It's going to be super important. So there's a love that existed between them. Jonathan, can you make this stop, please? There's a love that existed there. And listen, what do you want in life? Do you want a trashy woman who's going to be exciting for a couple of weeks or a couple of months? And then you're going to notice that she has major damaged goods, and not just damaged goods, but damaging goods. There are people that have been victimized, molested, raped, or whatever, and they've been very mistreated, and they come out, and they survive, and they do well in life. But there's a lot of people that after being abused and victimized, they turn around and they are a destructive source of self. It's kind of the way sin, unfortunately, is sometimes. It's a corrupting thing. It's kind of like when you get rust started on a fender. Don't blame people for the wrong done to them, but just understand sometimes where there's been a lot of wrong, the person learns the cycle. Like if you come from a family of alcoholics, there will be some people that come out of that family and learn what?
Not to drink.
I'm not touching that stuff. That's the wise people. But what do a lot of people do coming out of that?
They
start. Yeah, they just keep recycling, okay? Let's go to Proverbs chapter. Oh, yeah. So, here. It's all at once he follows her. Says, ox goes to the slaughter. A stag is caused fat. Till an arrow pierces his liver. As a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know what will cost him his life. Now, O sons, listen to me. Be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. Because what? Verse 26 and 27?
She was cast down and he would live.
Yeah. Many a victim has she laid low. All her slain or what?
A strong man.
Yeah, a mighty throng. Her house goes to where?
Sheol.
Now turn to Proverbs 31. Verse 10, an excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her. He will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like ships of merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it's yet night, provides food for her household, portions for her maidens. She considers a field, buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength, makes her arms strong. She perceives her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp doesn't go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens, so she's prosperous, she's doing well. But she opens her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household. All her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. That doesn't mean he's a lazy guy sitting around while she's working. It means here in the gates of the city, where like village elders would meet and discuss, he's respected there. You know, when that he's a respected man in the community. He's looked to for leadership. When he sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments, sells them, delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her what?
Blessed.
Her husband also praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. We don't have quotation marks in Hebrew or Greek, but I like in the ESV that the quotation mark ends there. I wouldn't recommend maybe that you just, next is a statement about women. Probably not best for the husband to say, no, you surpass them all. Beauty's, you know, vain, but, you know, you. So, I like the idea of the quotation ending where it is. You surpass them all. And then an observation here. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her works praise her in the gates. All right. Do you guys know men that have ruined their lives by making bad choices with women? Without giving any names or not details that somebody will know who it is. Does anybody want to give a brief example of somebody you know?
I used to work at a cabinet shop. I had a co-worker whose wife was so angry. Their goals in life were so different. He would work late just to avoid going home.
Okay, that's pretty sad. Someone else?
A man I've respected all my life, struggled with being an alcoholic, made, and eventually he started cheating on his wife. That's about the least details I can get into.
Okay.
It.
Okay, thanks for reading. Anybody else?
So his life isn't really ruined per se. He's probably around my age, but he's had like a lot of different girlfriends, and they're like basically all the same. And my cousin's really great friends with him, but this last girlfriend he had, it's like totally ruined their relationship. My cousin was like depressed for like a whole year. It was horrible, and he just doesn't know what to do. He just gets manipulated so easily.
Yeah. And guys are easily to commit, again, and here's two things that Proverbs says they do. Dress like prostitutes and seductive words. And those, you know, words dripping like honey. Because, you know, that girl comes up showing a whole lot of skin and start flattering you and talking about how she wants. There's something in the guy that appeals to, right? Her slain or a mighty throng. Okay? Here.
And sometimes her words are even more positive, like, you're so wise, you make me feel so good, you know, my husband doesn't pay any attention to me, but you make me feel like I'm really a woman, and things like that. They're almost positive. You see them as they're not so dangerous.
This is something that a lot of preachers and elders and other people have gotten themselves in trouble with, because they don't follow the rule of taking their wife with them to study with somebody else. So a buddy of mine, he was an elder, and he fell in love with a woman at work. He had a very important job, and he was a good man, and he told me, he said, it was arrogance. He said, I thought time, and he gave his name, it's not gonna happen. And so he started talking to this woman. Well, she was probably in a rough relationship and had problems and stuff. And when you start listening to a maiden in distress, what starts coming out in us? What do you want to be for a maiden in distress?
Why not?
Yeah, here's a girl, this dragon just keeps, you know, attacking me and, you know, singeing all my sweaters, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, you want to be, you're ready to suit up and rescue her, right? But you're listening to this girl in a relationship, and it starts with them being sympathetic, and you're like, I'm so sorry, you deserve so much more than that. And it might get into this. It's like, he sits around and watches porn. He doesn't seem to care about me. I just feel, I'm trying to diet, and I'm trying to, I feel so rejected and everything. And the guy's looking at her, she's a very attractive woman. He says, why? I don't know why he's doing that. You're a very beautiful woman. You know, you have a nice fit. And then she says, he's going through this. And he's like, you know, I'm so sorry. You deserve better than that. And at the end of the session, she says, oh, by the way, what's a major complaint women have about their husbands? He doesn't listen to me. What did he just spend 40 minutes doing?
Listen to me.
And so this is her emotional need. And she says, oh, your wife is so lucky. I wish I had a husband. Now, she didn't mean right then, probably, let's have an affair. But just her emotional needs are being met. And she's like, oh, your wife is so lucky. Because she thinks that. And then you go home and you walk in the door. Tim, does every time you walk in the door, does your wife say, I am so lucky? You know, is that every time? If you get that sometimes, great. But every time you walk in the door, Jonathan? No. It's like sometimes I walk in the door and it's like,
you're not feet on the carpet again.
Yeah. Or, he has really got me worn out when you take him. Or, I thought you said you were going to bring home the milk.
Yeah.
So, guess what he starts looking forward to?
Going to work.
He starts looking forward to that next session. And he's the knight of shining armor again. He's so excited. And at home, maybe his wife's got a problem. He's like, oh, I don't want to hear that. But over here, I don't want to hear that. And there's some words with honey dripping there. And they both get to where they're looking forward to this conversation. Now you have what is called an emotional affair. Nobody's touched anybody. Nobody started off planning it, but you get an emotional affair, and he starts thinking about her. He's not thinking about his wife. He's thinking about her, and his emotional needs are being met there, and she, her emotion, and they start falling in love and lost. And this is what happened to my friend. And it didn't go as far as it could have, but of course, you can imagine this was very painful to his wife. He had to step down as an elder. It was, you know, think how discouraging this would all be. He celebrated his anniversary recently. They're still together. I'm glad for them. They got back together and they worked it out. But well, what about the kids? Their grown kids knew about this. Why put the kids through this? Why put the wonderful, wonderful, lovely woman that he married? Just and her parents to see what he did to her. It just don't do that. Keep your way far from her door. Here's what you do. You say, my wife and I'll be glad to talk to you. Okay? But go ahead.
I just appreciate you making the point. It doesn't take an evil woman for this to be a thing. Like it's just man, woman, period.
So yeah.
For us to be not just about bad women, but bad situations. And look at bad situations as they really are.
Yeah. Honor, let marriage be honorable among all. That means don't be looking at pornography. Don't be taken away by trashy women. Pick a good woman. Honor your marriage, but honor other people's marriages. You don't go over to her house when her husband's not there. You honor other people's marriages. Hey.
Well, since that trust was broken once, right, do you think the relationship could ever be the same?
I've got a friend of mine that I've used repeatedly because they have a wonderful marriage. They're in love. They have a wonderful marriage. They're in their 70s now. And they're a really good pair, but before he became a Christian, he was an adult. He grew up in a kind of a scoundrel family, you know, sexually abused family. And he continued that. And when he became a Christian, he stopped. And I'm sure it took a long time to restore trust, but they did. And they're very happy now. And I use them when a situation comes along to show people that have gotten into a stupid situation that it doesn't mean you can't get out of it, but very often you don't. It's like, can you jump off of a four-story building and not paralyze yourself? Yeah, but very often you don't. So, 3 minutes. Oh, great. All right. I want to tell you one more story about this couple and this other guy. No. 3 minutes. Okay. Story number one. Good guy, smart guy, good family, makes a poor choice in his spouse. Some things are his fault, some things are her fault. He ends up cheating on her, starts having a second family, he's got kids over here, it becomes public. He ends up being divorced, his wife puts him away, he doesn't have a right to the other woman. He's got kids over here, big important job that had a morals clause, loses his job, ends up hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. Can't be with this woman, can't be with that woman, can't be with his kids there that often, can't be with his kids there that often. And now he's alone trying to have some interaction with his kids while his wife, who is now into LGBT stuff, is painting his little boy's fingernails. And he's not there to stop it. Can he serve God? But look where foolish decisions got him. Pornography. You guys have talked about pornography this week. Some of you have never gotten into it. Don't ever believe this stuff that everybody's doing. Everybody's not doing it. Those of you that have never done it, you are doing good. And don't fall for the thing, well, I need to find out what it's like. You know, if I vomit in the floor, you know, I say, try it. See what it's like. No, you don't need to try it to see what it's like, okay? Right? For those of you that used to view pornography and you stopped, good. Now you've got some scars. Because there's some relay tapes up here. Put your mind off that. Put your mind on good things. For those of you that are still in it, you've got to stop. You can't be a Christian and keep doing this. You can't say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm struggling. Recently, an older guy told me that for some years, masturbated every single day except the week at IBC. And he still had his phone. Don't pretend that you're serving God and say, well, I'm just weak. You've got to stop. Do what you need to do to stop. Stop degrading your future marriage. If you want to get married someday, even if you don't, Paul didn't choose to get married, but he still controlled his impulses. You need to right now be building. I'll end with this. If you want to get married someday, your family has already started. Because what's it take to have a family? A man, a woman, and then kids if you're blessed with it. You're already building the building. And if you're building sloppy construction, what right do you have to ask a woman to depend on that? Right now, before you even meet the woman, be building the man. Build the man that she can count on. Build the man that she can depend on. Be the man that she can trust in. And find the woman the same. And both of you put God first. And sometimes she'll annoy you, sometimes you'll annoy her. And sometimes you will need to apologize. Do that and keep that marriage growing and rejoice in the wife of your youth and be intoxicated with her love. And stop doing business with visual prostitutes. Very nice.
Thank you.
Oh, cool. Listen to Tim.